Modern life conspires against living a peaceful, simple life, which means it also conspires against drawing closer to our Lord. What can we do to slow down and live a simpler life? That's what we're going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host and editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before I get started, I just want to encourage people to subscribe to the channel and like. Now, I know a lot of times on YouTube channels, when they say to subscribe, they say, make sure you hit that notification bell so you always know when a new video comes up. I'm actually going to say, do not hit the notification bell. Yeah, subscribe to the channel. Go ahead and like our videos, our podcasts, but don't actually hit the notification bell. I'll explain that later, what I mean by that in a little bit. Also, you can follow us on social media at Crisis Mag. We're at all the major channels. We also are available on both YouTube and Odyssey in video format, and also all the different podcast platforms. You can listen to our audio version. Okay, so I'm going to do something a little bit different today. It's something I'm not really that comfortable doing in one sense, because I don't really like being somebody who gives like personal living advice. Like, I'm not a life coach or anything like that. I'm very comfortable talking about theology. I feel very comfortable talking about what's going on in the church and politics, things like that, but not always in this, a life expert. And one of the reasons I don't do that is because, frankly, I fail at it. Myself, my own advice, I don't always live up to. But I do think it's important. I want to share some of my experiences in striving to live a more peaceful, more simple life. And I'm doing that for a reason, because, you know, our magazine is Crisis Magazine. We acknowledge, we say up front that we're in a state of crisis. The church is in crisis. I think there's no question about that. The world is in crisis. I don't think there's any question of that either. The problem is how do we live peacefully in the midst of crisis? Obviously, when you're in a crisis, you can get very stressed out. You can lose your mind. Your peace can be disturbed when you're in the midst of crisis. But I think it's important as Catholics that we do not lose our peace even in the midst of the crisis. And so even though a Crisis Magazine, we're going to report on what's going on in the church and in the world and how we can hopefully improve it. We're not going to stop doing that. I think it's an important task that we do here. But I think at the same time, we do need to take a step back every once in a while, and maybe summertime is a good time to do that, and reflect on how can we actually make sure that although we live in the midst of crisis, how can we live at peace? And peace is something that's very important. And in fact, I would say, it's probably one of the biggest problems, spiritual problems we have in the modern world today, is not being able to keep our peace. And peace is important, like I said, and that's because our Lord himself has said that it is. And in fact, I'm going to read to you John 14:27. Our Lord said to the disciples, this is at the Last Supper, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Again, that's John 14:27. And what I think is important here, first of all, is that what is the origin of peace? The origin of peace is our Lord. And also, what's another thing important is, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. In other words, the world will not give us peace. In fact, the world strives to give us the opposite, strives to make us stressed out, strives to make us not at peace, disturbed in our souls. And it does, in the modern world, does frankly an excellent job at disturbing our peace. And so it tries to upset that peace. But without peace, we cannot become closer to the Lord. We cannot draw closer to him. When we are close to him, we are at peace ultimately. But there are practical things we can do. You know, we hear this said, but there are practical things we can do to make it so that we are better able to be at peace. And I think one of those things that we can do is to live a more simple life, live a simpler life. Now, so what I want to do is, at this podcast, give some tips on how to do this. Tips that I found just in my own experience help me. I don't always succeed at them. Sometimes I fail, try again, have to try multiple times before it succeeds. But these are things that help me to be more at peace by living a more simple life. Now, another thing I want to note is, before I get into these tips, I'm not calling for some radical change of life. I'm not calling for you to leave everything you're doing now, your job, your community, everything, go live on a farm somewhere, or go live next to a monastery. Now, I also want to say I'm not opposed to that. If that's your calling, if God is calling you that, go do it. If you really think that's the best way to live, go do it. But I'm not saying necessarily that's for everyone, that many of us, we live in the modern world. And so we're going to be amidst all this stress, all this disturbance, all this noise. And noise is probably the biggest thing I want to talk about, is just the fact that we have noise constantly surrounding us. So how do we escape that noise so that we can be at peace? And so that's the practical advice I'm going to be giving here. So the first big category I want to talk about is technology. I think technology, modern technology, is probably the biggest barrier to peace and living a simpler life, is modern technology. Now, let me be clear. I'm not anti-technology. I'm not a Luddite. I actually, my undergrad degree is in systems analysis, computers. I was a computer programmer for over 15 years. I know technology very well. I live currently on technology in the sense that Crisis Magazine is an online publication. Everything we do is online. We're active on social media. We're active in various YouTube channels and podcasts and things like that. We obviously have our magazine, the website itself. So this is not a diatribe against technology. However, what it is a warning against modern technology. It's a warning that we have to recognize that modern technology can be our biggest enemy to peace, because it drowns us in noise. It just simply covers us constantly with noise. And by noise, I just mean literal noise in the sense of sounds coming at us all the time, but also noise in the sense of online, constantly our social media feeds, things of that nature. We can't escape modern technology completely unless you want to go live like maybe hardcore Amish. Even the Amish have some modern technology infiltrating them. And if you want to do that, fine. But for most of us, we can't escape it completely. So what we need to do is we need to learn how to control technology. So the number one piece of advice I personally would give when it comes to helping control technology in your life to live a more simple life, a more peaceful life, is to get rid of your smartphone. That is my number one thing for when it comes to technology, is get rid of your smartphone. Replace it with a dumb phone. That's my and the reason for this is because I don't think we recognize how much a smartphone changes our life. Because it's not a matter of being against the internet. Like I said, I have all these things that I use the internet for. It's a matter of keeping the internet in our pocket at all times. That's what a smartphone does. Instead of just saying, I'm going to access the internet, what instead we say is the internet's always going to be with me at all times, at all places. I'm never going to escape from the internet. I will always have access to it. And I think that's unhealthy. I think that can lead to a lot of problems, and it definitely can keep us from a closer relationship with the Lord, because we're constantly being bombarded with all this stuff. I know there are Catholic apps and Catholic websites, and obviously Crisis is one of them, but I don't think it's a good idea to constantly be bombarded with all these various noises of the internet, have the internet in our pocket at all times. Now, personally, I would recommend people get a dumb phone, what I call a dumb phone. Personally, I use the Lite phone too. Here, I'll show it to you real quick if you're watching. Here it is right here. Let me turn it on real quick. Basically, it's just a small little phone. It has an e-ink screen. It's very basic. You can see it has very little on it. Basically, it calls and it texts. It does podcasts if you want to do that. And a few other things. It has a direction thing. I don't actually use that, GPS directional thing if you want to use that. But I like it because it's very simple. And the biggest thing I notice is when I look at it, I am not drawn to use it more. It's very functional for me. If I need to make a phone call, I make a phone call. If I need to text somebody, I text them. If I get a text, I get a phone call. I do that. I don't stay on after I'm finished with that. As soon as I'm done making a phone call, as soon as I'm done with the text, I'm off it. I don't go like, oh, what else can I do on here? There's nothing else to do on there. Plus the e-ink screen, I think, helps me very much, helps my brain, because they make technology, remember, to be addictive. And so the screens that you, on your iPhone, your Android phone, whatever the case may be, they're made to be addictive. They're made so you want to go back to them over and over again. So that's one I use. Now, it is expensive. I will admit that. I think it's for $300 or something like that, because they do a lot to put into that to design it so it's not to be used a lot. Now, I do save a lot of money. My monthly internet cell phone bill is only $12 a month, so I save a lot of money on that. But I did spend a lot to get started. There are other dumb phones out there. And one thing I recommend is there's a YouTube page. By the way, I'm going to mention a couple of recommendations, and I will put links in the show notes after the show's over so you can go to them. There's a YouTube page, channel, Jose Briones, I think you pronounce his name. He does a lot of videos on different dumb phones and using technology less. And so I'd recommend that channel definitely if you want to look into all the different dumb phones, because there's a lot of different ones now that you can use. And I just think that's my number one thing. Now, I will say I still own my smartphone, my old iPhone. I still own it. It doesn't have a chip in it, the card. In it, the SIM card in it anymore. And so it just is basically like an iPod touch, but basically it stays in my office. I still have it because I use it for things like two-factor authentication. I use it as a camera sometimes. But like I said, I use it for depositing checks in my bank account, things like that. But what I do is I usually, most of the time, I'm sometimes good at this, sometimes I'm not, I keep it in my office. So basically what I'm doing is I'm limiting the cell phone, my internet, I should say, I'm only my internet usage to my office in my house. So if I'm not in my office, I can't access the internet most of the time. And that's a very good thing, because in my brain that isn't just focused on, oh, I need to check my Twitter feed, I need to check Facebook, I need to check the news, or whatever the case may be. It can focus on what I'm doing at the time. So like I said, when it comes to technology, that's my number one piece of advice, is consider getting rid of your smartphone and using a dumb phone. Another point when it comes to technology is we need to control our use of social media and the internet. And of course, getting rid of your smartphone is the number one way to do that. But I also think there's other things we can do, just discipline ways that what we can do. For example, is don't use the internet for the first, or any screen, any device whatsoever, for the first hour you're up, for example. So when you get up, you pray, you spend your time in prayer, you don't have any access to the internet. If you wake up and the first thing you do is you look at your phone and you're scrolling through your device, wherever you're scrolling through, you're not going to have a peaceful day, more than likely. You're not going to have it's really going to disturb your peace and keep you away from the Lord. Another thing I would recommend is turn off all notifications. At the top of the program, I mentioned don't hit the notification bell. I don't want you to get notified every time I have something to say. That's not healthy. To just know, I mean, my wife definitely wouldn't want that for herself. And so I don't think anybody would want that. That every time I say something, or Taylor Marshall says something, or whoever it is you're following, you don't need to know every time they say something. You can control when you go, and you can look and find out when you, and you can control what you see. So turn off all your notifications. You don't have to constantly be told everything time something happens. I mean, I have a way that basically I get notified if my wife or kids needs to get a hold of me. But other than that, you know, I all my other notifications are basically turned off. And so, yes, that does mean sometimes I don't get back to people as quickly as they may want me to. But that's a big step, I would say, towards becoming more free and more at peace, is not allowing everybody out there to control your life by their texts and their emails. And that means you will disappoint people sometimes. That's tough for me. I think it might be tough for other people. When somebody emails you or texts you, especially if somebody texts you, there's an expectation you have to get back to them almost immediately. But really, in most cases, there's no reason for that. Why should these people have control over your life? And so, yes, I've gotten to the point where I don't always respond to all the emails I get. People email me sometimes, I don't respond to them. And I feel bad literally every single time that's the case. But I also realize I can't have my whole life run around everybody when they email me, ask me something. I try if I can, if I think it's important, I do. But a lot of times I don't. And so one of the things that I found that really helps with that, a book that I want to recommend, is called Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport. It gives a lot of practical advice. Again, I'll put this in the show notes, a link to it. Because it really helps you understand how much technology controls you. And so it gives you advice on how to schedule your day so you have times off. Times during the day where you're off of social media, you're off of the internet completely, and you're more focused in your work. It really is a great way to get a lot more work done, actually, in a practical sense. If you can spend a couple hours every day where you're disconnected from the internet and you can focus more on your work. And so I really would recommend that. I recommend just the idea of controlled use of the internet. For me, for example, I don't get on social media all on Sunday. Often I don't even get on the internet on Sundays. I turn off all that stuff on Sunday because I need a day. I mean, the Lord needed a day to rest. So do I. So I just, if some major news story pops up that day and I don't, and I miss it, well, then I just miss it. The whole world's not going to end if I don't know the latest news. And I think that's something we have to recognize is that we don't have to know everything going on in the world. I think it's healthy to have a certain understanding of what's going on, especially if you're involved at your parish or in your community, but we don't have to know everything immediately when it happens. One of the things I tell my writers at Crisis is that we like to have commentary on the latest news, but it doesn't have to be the first thing out. I want to have the best commentary out, not necessarily the first commentary out about whatever the news story is. And so I think that's just true of all of us. We shouldn't be so possessed by having to know the latest news immediately. I also, another piece of advice, another tip I have is I have what I call the two reply rule on Twitter. And I think I do it on Facebook as well. What that means is if somebody comments on something I post and I respond to them, I will not respond more than twice. So I will respond to them. They might say something back. I'll respond to them. That's the last I'm going to say. I every once in a while break this rule, but typically I don't. And the reason is I found almost every exchange on social media, but particularly on Twitter, which very much limits what you can say, ends up becoming an argument that is unnecessary. Even if it starts off good natured, by the end, you're calling each other Nazis. And so my rule is simply, if somebody asks a question, for example, about a tweet I make, I will try to respond maybe if I can. I don't feel like I have to always, but if I think it's a good question, I think other people might have, I'll try to respond. If they didn't do a follow-up question or comment, I might respond to that. But after that, I just don't, because I've never seen it work out very well when you just go on and on and on, because you can't really have that good back and forth between the person and you on Twitter. And so I think that helps me recognize, it helps me avoid arguments, unnecessary and stupid, that basically just violate and disturb your peace, and they don't really do any good. It also makes you realize that a lot of people on social media aren't having a good-natured discussion. They have a closed mind. They don't actually want to hear what you have to say. They just want to try to defeat you. And also it helps you not make things personal. I find sometimes people get very personal. They get in their comments on Twitter, and I think that's usually unhealthy. And if you just don't respond to a lot of stuff, then you don't have to worry about it getting like personal attacks against either you committing them against them or vice versa. Another thing I would say about controlling social media.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Playlist shuffled? Check. Drinks on ice? Check. Z-Biotics? Make the most of your time with friends by starting your evening with Z-Biotics, the only pre-alcohol probiotic designed to make those rough mornings after drinking alcohol a thing of the past. Z-Biotics is key for those who live for the moment. Visit zbiotics.com to learn more.
Feel free to liberally use the block button and the mute button. I know a lot of people freak out if somebody blocks somebody else on Twitter, like, oh, I was blocked on Twitter. This person clearly can't handle it. They can't handle the truth. But honestly, Twitter is just a personal thing that you use. It's like almost an entertainment thing. It's not intended to be the end-all be-all of public discussion. And so if somebody's on your feed and they show up in your timeline a lot and you just don't like what they're, it just disturbs your peace to have to deal with them all the time, block them or mute them. Whatever you want to do, there's no reason why you shouldn't do it. I've been blocked by a lot of people. A lot of people block me. And it's like, I understand. They don't want to hear what I have to say. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not like I want to barge into people's rooms and houses and tell them what I think all the time. I don't want to be like that. So if they want to block me, they want to mute me, that's fine. And likewise, I'm going to block people. I'm going to mute people, because what matters to me more is keeping my peace and being having a more simple life where I can draw closer to the Lord, not having to have every single person tell me what they think all the time. So I think use of the block button is a great thing, frankly. And so I encourage it liberally. And so if that means you're going to block me, fine, so be it. If that helps you, if blocking me helps you draw closer to the Lord, I want you to block me then. Hopefully that's not the case, but if it is, please do so. Now, as I wrap up this section on the on technology and how I think technology is probably the number one way that we, our peace is disturbed and we can't live a more simple life, I also want to recommend another book. It's a book that was written about 20 years ago. It's called Better Off, Flipping the Switch on Technology, I think is the subtitle, by Eric Brindy. And what happened is this guy who went, he's Catholic, and he went to a MIT, but he decided to live, he started really having problems with modern technology, he decided to live for a year with these old school Amish. And these guys were hardcore. I don't know if they were actually Amish, but they were like Amish. They were hardcore, no electricity, no technology, modern technology. And he wrote a book about this experience. It's a great book. I highly recommend it. But the big thing I got out, my biggest takeaway from that book is that I realized that the Amish aren't anti-technology. They're intentional technology, meaning before they introduce any new technology into their community, they think it out. What are the consequences for it? So, for example, if the community that Eric Brindy lived in, they're having a debate about the use of the telephone. This was in like the late 90s, early 2000s. And they were discussing in a community meeting, what would it mean for technology, this technology of the telephone, to be introduced more widely in the community? And ultimately, they decide it would not be overall help. They had an example where the midwife actually had to call a doctor because a woman was about to lose her baby, or she was going to die in childbirth, and he saved, and the doctor came in and saved the mother of the child. So they weren't saying telephones are bad. In fact, they said it was okay to have a telephone in the community. They just thought it should be limited to only emergency situations. And they had a whole discussion with that. Now, I'm not saying we should do that necessarily as Catholics. If you want to, fine. But I would just say that I like that attitude of every piece of technology that you introduce into your life, think it through ahead of time. Does this actually improve your life? Does this draw you closer to God? Is this something that can be used for good? Or will it have unintended consequences that actually harm your spiritual life, harm your family, or whatever the case may be? I mean, I think if you're a parent, you kind of do this with your kids. For example, no good parent would give their kindergarten kid a smartphone. And yes, if you were a parent who gave your kid a smartphone in kindergarten, you were not a good parent in that. You think about what are the consequences of giving your kid a smartphone? I know this has been it's a debate that in my own head with my own kids, I have kids that are out of the house now, but I still have younger kids. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to introduce a smartphone to them a lot later than I did with my earlier kids. My earlier kids, I think they were about 16 or so. And we had limited use on it and stuff like that. But I think that was still probably too early. But so the point is, though, you do that with your kids. Honestly, we should do that with ourselves. We shouldn't just say, oh, there's a new commercial out for this new gadget. Let's get it. We should think it out beforehand, before we introduce it into our lives. So Better Off by Eric Brindy. Like I said, I'll link to that in the show notes. Now, just specifically, I just want to mention, somebody in the comments said that I like this rule. I'm going to put this up. My rule, every hour on the iPhone means I need to spend an hour in prayer or in nature. I think that's a great idea right there. You track your time on your phone. And if you're on your iPhone, make sure you spend that same amount of time in prayer, or I like that, or out in nature, communing with God. And so I think that's, I just want to bring that up because I think that's a great suggestion. Okay, now let me move beyond technology to just general lifestyle choices that we make. I think the biggest thing, it kind of coincides with what I was saying before about intentional about our technology. I think we need to be intentional about how we live. I think most of us, I know this is very true for me, and I think I've talked to other people, it's true for them. They fall into habits. They fall into certain ways of life just because everybody else is doing it. It's just the way it is. And it's not like an intentional bad decisions we're making. It's more just like we just end up doing this. Like an example would just be you end up getting a habit on your way home from work. You grab something, or on your way to work, I should say. Maybe you grab breakfast at McDonald's. And it's very convenient. It becomes very easy. You do it one time because you're in a rush. It works out very well. And you start doing it over and over again. I know of somebody who they would get McDonald's for their kids every morning. before breakfast on the way to school. And I bring that up just because I'm going to talk about diet and health in a minute, but you fall into it. It's not like when you decide to go to McDonald's at one time, you're like, you're making this terrible decision, this evil decision. It's just, you fall into these habits, these ruts. And so I think we need to step back and be intentional about the choices we make, because they do add up and they can change our lives for the worst often. So the first bit, and again, for the technology section, I said the number one piece of advice was get rid of your smartphone. The number one piece of advice I would say for a lifestyle choice is do everything you can to have an hour dedicated each day to prayer. I don't think I've ever heard of a spiritual advisor who did not advise this. I mean, and this is something that goes way back. I mean, obviously even more is better, but work towards having a minimum of an hour a day in prayer. And by that, that does not include your commute. If you're praying the rosary on the way to work, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, but that's not what I'm talking about here. This hour dedicated to prayer should be dedicated only to that. You're not doing anything else. You're not driving to work. You're not listening to anything. You're not working. You're only praying. And so you're in a silent place. You're in a silent area of your house. Maybe you have a prayer corner, something like that. And you basically want to pray an hour a day. I think this is essential for every Catholic, and it's essential to the spiritual life. And if you do this, if you don't do this now, understand that you might have to build up to it, that you might have to end up, you don't try to go an hour if you're at zero right now, or if you're at 5 minutes right now. Build up to it, add 5 minutes maybe every week, something like that. But definitely spend an hour in prayer. I think that's everything else is not even important compared to that bit of advice. I'm assuming, by the way, we're all Catholics here. You're going to Mass, going to the sacraments. Obviously, that's the foundation, going to Holy Mass every Sunday, and even more during the week if you can. Going to confession at least once a month. Those are basic things. I think as Catholics, we already know that. The second thing I would say as far as a lifestyle choice, so to speak, is really look at your diet and your health. I think that this is something I've struggled with over time. I had a terrible diet when I was younger. I drank Mountain Dew all the time. I mean, I would drink a couple Mountain Dews a day. I transitioned to Coke until finally one of my daughters said, "Why don't you give up Coke for Lent, Dad?" And I did. And I couldn't believe I could do it, but I did. And I ate McDonald's a lot. Now it just disgusts me even here, McDonald's. But back, I mean, when I was younger, I was in my 20s and 30s working a lot. I would stop for lunch at McDonald's or Burger King a lot. And it's just very unhealthy. But that really has an impact on your life, on your spiritual life, and your ability to be at peace. Because what it does, it really affects your body, because we are, remember, a combination of body and soul. We're not just bodies, disembodied souls or something like that. We're not only bodies, we're body and soul. And so our bodies being healthy are an important aspect of our souls being healthy. And the problem is our modern diet, the typical diet that you get, is really bad for you. And it really, I think what it does for me, it gives me what I call brain fog, where I have a harder time concentrating. I have a hard time having energy to do things that are more difficult, more mentally difficult, I should say. It really puts me in a rut when I don't have a healthy diet. And sometimes I fall out of my habits and I can just tell after a few weeks of that, I'm like, oh, I'm just out of it. So I don't recommend a specific plan. I'm not a diet guru or anything like that. Because the fact is, I think there's a lot of ones out there. I think probably a lot of them work better than the modern diet. My only recommendation is avoid fast food, avoid processed foods. I mean, that I think that's a pretty standard thing most nutritionists would tell you. So just do that. And I think that would help a lot. Another big thing I'm big on is intermittent fasting. A recommendation, I'll put this in the notes as well. Jason Fung, The Complete Guide to Fasting. He has a whole website on fasting. I used to never fast hardly at all. I didn't think I could. It's because I was on a crappy diet. But once I got on a better diet, I found I could do intermittent fasting. I feel like it's something that most of us can do. Obviously, there are some exceptions. Pregnant ladies, obviously, nursing mothers, obviously, and some other health reasons that you might not be able to. But I think that also clears your mind and allows you to be more at peace as well. Because you don't have this fog, and you're not addicted to food in the sense that you have food controlling you all the time, something like that. So I think that's just something we need to recognize, is that our diets is something we really need to be intentional about and think it through. And that will help us live a more simple life and a more peaceful life. If you're not constantly having to worry about food, if your day isn't taken up by every couple hours, I need a snack, I need to go do this, you're going to be more focused. You're going to be more at peace. Another bit of kind of lifestyle advice, there's that movement called minimalism. Now, I know that there are extremes to that movement, and I'm not endorsing it fully. However, at the same time, I do think it's a very good idea to live a minimalist life. And what I would just call it a Franciscan life, an idea that we're not possessed by our possessions. We don't have a lot of stuff. We're not constantly getting more stuff. And a couple ways we can do this, first of all, is cancel your Amazon Prime membership. We should do that for a lot of reasons, but I canceled mine last, I don't know, maybe December, something like that. I probably should have done it years before. I had Prime membership at Amazon for almost 20 years. And I found, now that I've canceled it, I've been canceled for at Amazon for, I guess, about 6 months or something like that now. I order a lot less. When it's not as easy, I end up, first of all, I go out and I buy at local stores instead of Amazon, which is probably a good thing. But I just get less stuff. So that'd be one tip. But I also think, go through your house and try to eliminate the clutter. At least for me, if I'm in a room that's very cluttered, my mind is very cluttered. I'm not focused. I'm not at peace. And so one way to simplify our lives is to get rid of a lot of stuff. Now, I will say, the minimalists who advocate getting rid of books, those people are just evil. I mean, come on, we got to have books. So I do have lots of books, and I do enjoy having lots of books around, but I don't feel like that deserves my peace. But I do think a lot of stuff we can get rid of in our houses. And like, for example, my wife and I, a few years ago, we went through our bedroom and we just got rid of tons of, like, we had extra clothes that we didn't use, had these cabinets, all this stuff. We just got rid of all of it. And so now our bedroom consists of basically a chair, our bed, and a couple end tables, and that's it. And I like it. It just allows me, when I go into my room, it's just a peaceful setting. I'm not constantly like all this junk all around. So I'd recommend becoming more minimalist in our lives with the stuff we have. One recommendation I'll have for that, again, I'll link to it, is Joshua Becker. I like him. He's a guy who does minimalist stuff. I think his website's Becoming Minimalist. I like him. I don't recommend every single thing he says. I believe he's Christian. I think he's Protestant. But he has some good advice. Stuff that he does, I think, is good just to kind of get us to thinking more about how our possessions possess us. So another thing I would say, another lifestyle change I would say, and these are all, notice these are, none of these are major. These things I've said so far, nothing is that major. Becoming a minimalist, changing your diet some, controlling your social media, controlling all that stuff. Another thing I would just say is try to have scheduled times, have a scheduled lifestyle. Not over-scheduled, where you got your calendar and you got all this stuff you're doing. What I mean by that is every day you have a certain routine. Because I do think routine, the monks showed us that a routine is kind of what we're made for and helps us to draw closer to God. I mean, the monks are the perfect example. In fact, if you look at the monastic life, almost everything I've said so far, they do in spades. They don't have modern technology surrounding them. I'm talking about the monks who are living a monastic lifestyle. They're not surrounded by modern technology. They have actually a good diet. They're very minimalistic, obviously. And they spend time in prayer every day. So I am saying that we should try to strive to be more monastic in our lives, even though that's not our calling to be a monk. We're living in the midst of the world, but we can live in a more monastic lifestyle, I think. And I think that can be very good for us. But have a routine every day. So for example, you have the same time you get up every morning, same time you go to sleep at night. That, I think that's vitally important. I think that helps us a lot. And also we have a specific time for prayer every day. Hopefully when you first get up in the morning, but you do it every day at the same time. I think that's a great way to do things. And if you're married, you make it so that both you and your wife or spouse can have those times of prayer each day. Also, I think it helps us to it gives us more free time. If we're off our phones, if we're off the internet, we have more free time. And you know what we should be doing? Obviously, we should be serving others. That's a big part of it. But also, we can read books. I mean, I think you should be reading more books than we're reading online. So I think that's another thing that we can do. More leisure activities. There's nothing. Leisure is a good thing in moderation, as always. But our leisure often is just scrolling through Facebook, scrolling through Twitter, or whatever the case may be. Let's have good, healthy leisure instead of just doing stuff like that. And I think if we're online less, we're going to have more time to do other things and more healthy things. So schedule your day, have a routine, but give scheduled also times for just leisure, for reading, for hanging out with your kids, things like that. Obviously, you should hang out with more, your kids more than just scheduled. But I think what happens is often we don't hang out with our families as much as we should. And so it is good to say, okay, from 5 to 7 every day, or 6 to 8 or whatever, every evening, that's family time. That's what I'm talking about. Just making it so, yeah, that's family time. I'm not going to be doing anything other than family time during that time. Okay, so these are things these are kind of recommendations. I want to end with some suggestions of some major changes. I think in some cases, it's necessary to make some major changes. In my own life, my wife and I, over time, we've made major changes slowly so that we live in a way that's better than we were when we first got married, as far as all this stuff goes. This stuff might take time, but here are some major changes. The first one is, and this is for parents, consider homeschooling if you aren't already. I don't think people who don't homeschool realize how much less stressful homeschooling is than sending your kids to school. You're not constantly having to take your kids somewhere. You're not constantly having all these activities outside of school and things like that. And it's not this stress of always having to be, you take your kids to school, pick them up from school, have this activity in the evening, make sure they get their homework done, all that stuff. Homeschooling is just less stressful. It's more simple. And so I really recommend people that they consider homeschooling. Another thing does it creates a more peaceful environment in the home, I think. And it also creates communities. As you homeschool, you will find other homeschooling families in the area. And typically, you're very like-minded with them. And so as we try to build communities that live in a more simple, peaceful way, homeschooling is a great way to do it. We're not trying to be Amish and necessarily force some type of rule-based community. But what homeschooling communities do, they kind of form naturally these various communities that are a little bit more flexible. Everybody lives kind of on their own, but they have these relationships and communities with other homeschoolers. So I'd highly recommend homeschooling. That's a major change, obviously. That's one I'd say consider. Also, consider where you live. I mean, frankly speaking, living in urban areas, but also the suburbs, often makes it very difficult to live a more peaceful, more simple life because you're constantly bombarded by everybody around you. Now, the problem is that we want to live in community. We should want to live in community, but we also kind of want to separate ourselves from the world. I think both those things are in tension. And so we need to strive for some type of balance. And that's why I think the homeschooling communities can often do that. You can live in an area that may be a little more isolated, but if you're connected to these homeschooling community, then you do have other people around you that can support you and you can support them. But I do think you should consider where you live. If it's somewhere that's very difficult to live a more simple, a more peaceful lifestyle, I think you should consider moving. I mean, if you live in the midst, very close to New York City, for example, that might not be the best place to live, frankly. I know it's hard to say, and especially if you grew up there, but it is something you should consider. Another thing is, when it comes to considering where you live, think about your parish. Your parish should be an oasis of peace. I'll say that again. Your parish should be an oasis of peace. When you go to Mass on Sunday, is it an opportunity to escape from the world? If it's not, maybe you should consider another parish. And if there isn't one like that around you, again, maybe you should consider living somewhere else. Because I personally, I know in my own life, if I did not have a parish that I could go to every Sunday and hopefully and even more, but at least every Sunday, where while I'm there at Mass, I'm not worried about the world. I'm able to escape because of the sacred music, because of the sacred architecture, because of the Mass, because it lifts me out of the day-to-day grind. If I didn't have that, I don't think I could handle the day-to-day grind, frankly. So I highly recommend, make sure your parish, your job is not to convert your parish. I don't know why Catholics think that, I need to stay in my parish because I can make it better. I can't abandon it. No, your duty isn't to make your parish better. Your duty is to find peace and opportunity for escaping the world. Yes, your parish is going to have problems. Every parish has problems. I'm not saying you need to keep searching till you find the perfect parish. What I am saying, though, is it should at least give you a certain amount of peace when you go to your parish on Sunday. Elsewise, look elsewhere. Another more radical change is probably the most radical change of them all. And this is something I'm kind of working towards, but I've not achieved. And that's the idea of homesteading. And what I mean by that is simply having a property, your land, such that you can live off of it more and more. Now, this doesn't mean you have to live out in the middle of nowhere and that you're completely self-sufficient. Most of us will never achieve that. And I don't think necessarily we have to. But I do think homesteading, what it does is it changes the direction of your thinking, that you start seeing things a lot differently, the world a lot differently, when you're spending your time not online scrolling through your Twitter feed or your Facebook feed, but instead, oh, I got to feed the chickens today. I got to make sure I'm water the garden. It's time to plant something now. It's time to do to incubate some more chicks or something like that. When those are the things that your life revolves around, I feel like, at least for me, it's a much more natural way of living, and you're more in tune with nature, and therefore you're more in tune with nature's God, which is the triune God. And so this is obviously a very radical thing. And you can't do this if you're constantly on social media, if you're constantly on the internet. You can't do this. But I would just recommend people take baby steps towards this. Even if you live in an apartment in the city, you can still take some steps, maybe plant a pot or something, have a potted garden or something like that on your porch or whatever the case may be. But start to work towards living more in tune with nature, more in tune with the way things are. I do feel like it gives you peace. If you notice behind me, if you're watching this, I have this painting of the Angelus. And you see that what's happening is this farming couple, they stopped at noon, most likely, to pray the Angelus. And I love this painting. I've had it since we were married because it gives a very peaceful feel to it. I don't know about you, but it kind of gives me peace when I look at it. I remember a couple of weeks ago, my wife was down in the garden, working in the garden, and it was noon. And so I gathered the kids and we walked down to her, our garden's down the hill a little bit from her house, and we prayed the Angelus there. And it struck me for a moment. I was like, oh my gosh, we're doing what this thing says. Now, we're not hardcore farmers or anything like that, but it was a very beautiful thing. And I found that trying to do more homesteading leads to a more peaceful and more simple life. I mean, you're very busy. But it's busy with things I think are more natural to human existence, so to speak, the way we were made. But when it comes to these more radical major changes like homeschooling or homesteading or changing where you live, changing your parish, I would just say this. Your spiritual health, your spiritual well-being is more important than anything. And your kids, your family's spiritual health, well-being is more important than anything. So I would just say we need to be willing to do more radical things in our life if necessary. In my own life, I've been married for 27 years now. We have done these things over time. Like we first started, our kids went to Catholic schools. Then we changed to homeschooling. We now live out a little bit from the city, although the city's moving out, the suburbs are moving out to us, but we live in a little bit more property. We didn't start gardening seriously until a few years ago. All these things, we found a parish that we drive to half an hour to in order to get to, because it gives us that peace in our lives, that stability, that anchor that we can go around. These things took time. It's not like we did it overnight. So I would just recommend that there are a lot of different things that you can do in your life. Start small, but be willing to consider more radical things. Okay, I think I'm going to wrap it up here. I think I've gone over, hopefully not too over long, in talking about being more simple. I hope I haven't been too complicated in that. But I would just recommend, like I said, I'm going to put in the show notes the recommendations I made. I would just say, really think about, be intentional about the way you live in your technology usage, in your job, in your schooling, in your housing, everything, your parish, everything. Be more intentional. I think that will help us during this time of crisis, because we are in a crisis and we can't escape it. Unless you're going to go be in a monastery, you can't escape it. So let's find ways to live sanely, to live simply, and to be more at peace in the midst of crisis. Okay, that's it for today, everybody. I appreciate you tuning in. Until next time, God love you.